Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
So Joe Cocker bringing us back. Wild and crazy, mad Englishman there, Joe Cocker. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and I always like telling you about what they offer, ladies and gentlemen. The website's kiplinger.com, and I hope you'll check it out. It's a good one. I use it all the time. And, of course, they have their outstanding publications like the Kiplinger Letter that Joan and I work off of every day, every week. And of course, that's the flagship. That's the one that comes out on Friday. You can get it on Friday by email, Monday by regular mail. I get it both ways. I can't get enough. And Joan, the other publications, you got three other publications that are biweeklies, right?
The
tax letter.
That's right.
The tax letter. We've heard about that one, haven't we? The tax
letter. Oh, it's my favorite.
And the agriculture letter and the biofuels letter. But then you also have a magazine.
Right, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
Available on newsstands. You can also subscribe at the website for all these things. And not only, if you subscribe, Joan, to the letter or to any of these publications, you actually get access to a treasure trove of more research in the back of the website, don't you?
You bet.
So what about that phone number?
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Check that out, folks. And Kiplinger, as you know, they're still family-owned small business, even though they're a worldwide brand, a great American story. Joan, let's move over and talk about the trade tensions that you say may be easing between the U.S. and Canada. Talk to us about that.
Well, we say that there is a new pact, there's a new pact that was a year in the making, and it's going to be a two-year trade agreement, and we say it's going to lead to lifting restrictions on using foreign-made parts in infrastructure projects. And that means, we're saying that that's good news for contractors and manufacturers in the U.S. It means more work for them.
Well, why can't Buy American mean Buy North American?
Good question. I don't know.
I mean, we don't need to. I mean, as you know, Joan, I'm a free trader. I think
right.
We should be trading all over the place with everybody. It raises all boats. Because we need the people we trade with to be our customers and consumers of our products, too, and it goes both ways.
Right.
But Canada, for goodness sake, I mean, we're joined at the hip with Canada, Joan.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're our largest trading partner, aren't they?
Yes.
There should be no hiccups, no rifts, no impediments to trade with China, with
that's
Canada.
That's right. That's right, yeah.
So that's good
Canada,
news.
Canada, that's a slip of the tongue there, buddy.
Yeah. Well, exactly, but... I'm hopeful that we can get all that worked out because I mean Canada, my goodness, they're our brothers, our sisters. We need to keep those lines open.
Right.
Joan, the moving down and we talked about the dollar earlier and the inflation. We already covered that, so let's move down and talk about the labor unions. Are backing off on they're lowering their expectations.
Right, there's
some
major contracts coming due this year, and we're saying that. They just kind of want to protect what they have, and they're not going to be grasping for more stuff, which I think is probably smart in this economy.
Probably smart, you think, huh? Yeah, and now is not a time for the unions to try to play bare knuckle negotiation.
Right.
I mean, I think they've learned from some other people who've learned that lesson in the last year or so. So if nothing, Joan, it looks like at least some of the unions are pragmatic, at least. And so I hope that's the case. Also, Joan, let's move down and talk about the COBRA topic at the bottom of the page there. You're an expert in this area. What's the news there?
Oh, how much time do we have?
Remind the audience what COBRA is.
Okay, well, COBRA is what we call continuing coverage. In other words, if you have an employee who leaves, they have the right to continue their employer-provided coverage, but they have to pay 102% of the premium, meaning 100% plus 2% administrative cost. Now, they've started this thing called the COBRA subsidy, which started back last year, that you, if you have someone who is let go, but it's got to be an involuntary termination, in other words, you know, a layoff, they are entitled to get 65% of that premium paid by the federal government. But guess what? They don't get that directly from the federal government. Guess who foots the bill, or guess who fronts the whole thing?
Tell us who.
The employer.
Yep.
And they,
yep,
they pay the subsidy, and then they get reimbursed through their payroll. They get a refund, or they just don't. They pay less than payroll tax at the quarterly payment.
But it affects your cash flow.
Right, exactly. It affects your cash flow.
And so this is a mandate that came down from Washington that imposed this on all businesses, didn't it?
Right. And it was supposed to end, well, it was originally supposed to end for in November. And by end, I mean only people let go through November were supposed to be entitled to that. And then they extended that to include people let go through February, and now we're saying that's probably going to get extended. Well, I think initially they're going to do a two-week extension, and then they're going to make it longer, 3 or 6 months, or maybe even through the rest of this year. Anyone laid off the rest of this year would be entitled to this, and they get it for up to 15 months.
How are we – where do we stop this, Joan? I realize that you know, there's a lot of hurting out there, but, you know, at some point in time – you know, the government, this is still part of printing money, isn't it?
Well, bad news. I have a funny feeling that this is could end up being one of these perennial extenders that keeps getting extended over and over and over again. And it's bad when it, you know, you don't know what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Very interesting, folks. Also, Joan, no change in the 2011 Social Security wage base, though, right?
That's right. $106,800.
Yeah, exactly. That hasn't changed. All right, quick break. Right back. We've got a few more things to talk about with Joan before we wrap up this hour. After these messages, 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Little Chicago bringing us back. Welcome back, 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Joan Pride is our guest. We're talking about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Joan, moving over to page 3, there's a section here called Obama and Taxes. Is there any good news in that?
Well, I think depending on who you are, there might be. You know, the president's proposal on taxes is to have the Bush tax cuts expire for, he says, anyone making over $200,000. But what that works out to, we calculated it and figured out that if your taxable income is above about $231,000 if you're a married couple, then that would hit you, or $196,000 if you're single.
I thought it was $250,000, Joan. They keep coming down.
No. But he says making, and he never defined the term making until his last budget. And if you read the fine print, it's taxable income plus or minus certain things. And
can you say the devil's in the details?
Right. And so when we did the calculations, those are the figures that we came up with.
I see. So
when you say making, that's not a very specific term in the tax world. But anyway,
right,
the point is, we think that not just Republicans, but Democrats are going to pressure him to back off on that. They really have to do something before the end of the year, because the Bush tax cuts are scheduled to expire for everyone at the end of the year. So we think what's probably going to happen is maybe at the very least a short-term extension of the Bush tax cuts, which include the lower marginal rates, lower rate on capital gains, things like that, extend them for everyone until they can figure out what to do in the next year or two.
Not about figuring out what to do. You know better than that.
This is about kicking the can down the road. That's what it's
about. Exactly, because what's going to happen in November?
Yes, and that's the whole problem, the midterm elections.
See, folks, this is policy by political expediency. This is not policy. This is not policy for leadership's sake.
That's right.
This is policy based on what it's going to take for me to get reelected.
Of course.
And as my father would have said, it's a hell of a way to run a railroad.
Yep. Yep.
And he would have known, because he was a railroad man. But Joan, let's move down and talk about the pensions. Do you have some new information on pension funding relief, I think you call it, for pension plans. What's that?
Funding relief is important, but there's also something else going on. Let me do the funding relief fairly quickly. Underfunded plans need to make up that underfunding over a certain number of years, but we think Congress is going to pass some legislation fairly soon that's going to let them take a longer time, stretch out that those payments to make up the underfunding.
Right. Now, tell us what causes underfunding.
Oh, on any number of things. Investment losses, that's been the big thing the last couple of years.
But, I mean, what is the problem with underfunding?
Under government rules, you have to have a certain amount in your plan. You know, you have to have a certain percentage, whether it's 95% funded or 90%, based on actuarial. You know, you have to look at your workforce and how long you think they're going to live and all of that to determine what the quote-unquote full funding number is.
Right. It's a complicated calculus. But it's very similar to the kind of to the covenants that you might have in a loan, where you got to keep certain levels of financial strength in on your balance sheet, or you're breaking those covenants. And that's kind of what that is, I think.
Right.
All right. What else? Is there one more thing there?
One more thing, very quickly. Plan sponsors, if you sponsor any kind of pension or welfare plan, health plan, you're going to have to electronically file Form 5500. Everybody knows what that is. That's the information return you have to file every year. Almost everybody, unless you're a sole proprietor with no employees, you're going to have to electronically file it, and that's going to be a burden for a lot of small businesses, we're being told.
More regulations, Joan.
Mm-hmm.
More regulations, more requirements, more things to keep up with, more things to pay for.
And to be fair, that's been in the works for several years. This is not a brand new thing, but it's been postponed and postponed, and they finally decided not to postpone it anymore.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's still more regulations, Joan. And that's regulations. Compliance with regulations costs small business owners more than double per employee per year what it costs a big company to comply.
And not just in terms of money, but in terms of time not spent working on your business.
Opportunity lost, no question about it. Hey, Joan, the last thing in the letter is about a turning point in Afghanistan. I just want to say, and I know you joined me, and I said this at the top of the hour before you got here, we got thousands of American men and women standing a post in Iraq and in Afghanistan, especially now in Afghanistan. There's a major campaign going on. We got a fraction of our Americans' population over there standing a post on our behalf. I hope people are thinking about them and saying a prayer for them and being grateful for those people.
Well, I hope they understand how brave these people are. I don't know how they have the courage that they have, because Afghanistan right now is an incredibly scary place.
Yeah, but yet they go and yet they fight.
Yep, they do.
And they do it for us, and I'm grateful for them, and God bless every one of them. Thanks, Joan, for being here. Good job today.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll see you next time. I got to go for this hour. Broadcasting live, actually signing off from Houston, Texas, but I'll be back here tomorrow. Stay with me then.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.